We got MTSU football coach Derek Mason rolling over here right now. What's going on? How are you?
Look, I see this tandem, and I say to myself, you know what? It must be football season.
It is.
be football season. What's good, fella?
How's life? How's things going?
You know what? Blessed and better than I deserve. As you can see, man, you're looking at a new indoor facility being built. Man, we're on the grass, which is always a blessing during camp. Anytime you can get off the turf, mate, because the turf does get hot.
Oh, yeah.
Like anytime you can get off the turf and just change up the setting for our student athletes, man, it's good. But I can't complain, man. Chris Massaro's been outstanding. Larry Maples, who's helping Chris head up, our new facility, just being in a place, man, that's truly blue collar, man. It's different. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how are the guys looking so far? I mean, what's the big developments for you so far out here?
Well, anytime you have 59 new guys, right? You think that you got a long way to go with chemistry, but I don't think that's been the case. I think anytime that you can shuffle up nowadays in college football, when you can shuffle up your lineup, you got a chance, man, to really hit the ground running. I thought it was going to be like a hot mess, right?
Yeah.
It's been like a good grilled cheese and some creamy tomato soup, man. it's been good, man. I've been able to see guys get better quickly. I've seen, you know, our leaders like Nick Vadiato and Devin Curtis, you know, man, really like put a stranglehold like on these guys in terms of the way we practice and what we do. It's been competitive. I've seen transfers like Amari and Brendan Harris, really command, their areas of the field. And I've seen our line of scrimmage get better. We're longer up front, defensively. You know, guys that haven't played, are now ready to play. They're older. They've had to wait their turn. And I think all of that sort of led us down this road where, we feel like we got a chance to compete in this conference.
Well, we heard from you when you took this job just about your excitement level to be back and to be coaching and to build this program. As you've been now here and established yourself for a few months, what excites you the most about this group, this team, and the opportunity that you've got moving forward here?
Well, this isn't a rebuild. I people that are thinking rebuild are wrong. This can be plug and play. It starts with having one of the best quarterbacks in Conference USA, right? So, I mean, anytime you have a quarterback, there's a chance for success. You got to keep him upright. But it's more than that. It's about having balance to what we do. We've got running backs. We got a room full of running backs. You'll see today, like as you're watching practice, we can go as many as five or six deep, okay? And they're veteran guys, with varied experiences, right? And so I think to have a quarterback but a run game, to go along with what your quarterback can do. And then we've given him some different weapons outside. Now, he does get a chance to play with a tight end. And I think we all know if you can hold the edges with a tight end, if you can open up the middle of the field, opportunities outside are big.
Schematically, you brought in coordinators. Are you basically the same philosophy that you've had schematically, or have you changed up? Since Vanderbilt.
You know what? I think football makes you change, right? One of the big learning lessons for me when I first got to Vandy was like this idea. I was going to do it, my way. And so I didn't look at all the pieces initially because I let my coordinator like do that. And so what happens like in that, you can be so strong-willed that sometimes when you're trying to put, round pegs in square holes, right? And that's what really happened. Initially, getting off to a slow start didn't necessarily match up, scheme with skills. Okay, I think it's totally different. Brian Stewart, has been doing this as long as me. And he's been able to be around the likes of, Wade Phillips, for a long time. He's been around the Leslie Frazier's of the world. He's been with, Andy Reid, and Spags. And so, and Sean McDermott. So, his experiences, though similar to mine, are different, right? And so I welcome that. that I've had a chance to really embrace the role of being a head coach. And I think I left the scheme up to our guys. Now, do I watch? Yeah. Do I suggest some things? Yeah, just based off what I see skill-wise, right? Like maybe tweaking a technique here or there. But second time around, I fully trust, you know, what's in front of me. I trust the guys, man, to do their jobs. That's what they were hired. And I think I had enough time to get that right. And when you have time to get it right, you don't second-guess, man. You just let them do their jobs.
MTSU football coach Derek Mason with us on Robbie and Rex Road. So it's interesting to hear you talk about that, because we've talked so much on the show just about the landscape of college football and how much it's changed over the past decade. Your job as head coach, how much has that changed from when you started at Vandy until now at MTSU, just the role of head coach in college football? How much different is it now than it was 10 years ago?
It's totally different. It's night and day, right? Transfer portal, NIL, you know, roster management, you know, like, and what that looks like, what your staff looks like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you better have a staff of relationship builders who can recruit, you know, scheme guys, men who understand how to develop talent. Because if you don't at this level, they'll leave. that's a fact. And then on top of that, you just have to, you know and understand that facilities got to get built. Mm. I don't care where you're at, facilities got to get built, right? And so with that, you know, like having people that understand, whether it's Chris or Larry Maples, you know, like Chris, along with Stock, were very instrumental in getting this thing done, right? I mean, I'm just walking into a space. But like, what Larry Maples has done in terms of sitting down and schematically making the facility player-friendly, you know, so that we can flow, because a lot of facilities look good. But what you have to say to yourself is, okay, day-to-day, from the teaching to the learning to the recovery, you know, how's that going to fit, like, what you're doing? So these are the conversations that you have to have. And now when you talk about, like, people in the stands, you got to put them in the stands, right? This is about, you know, connection with community. You got to sell tickets. It used to be, okay, but you just coach and just worry about that. Nowadays, the spectrum of what you have to do as a head coach is so deep and wide that if you're just trying to be one thing, good luck. It's just hard to maintain, you know, any level of success just being one thing in your program.
So you've talked about, it sounds like things are going well with these guys with chemistry and everything, but I imagine that's different too, right? Because you have to, I guess you kind of have to accelerate a lot of things, right? The old way, you got guys who grow up, juniors, seniors, they become your leaders. Now you bring in some new guys, and maybe some of them are natural leaders, but you have to probably figure that out quickly.
Yeah.
So how, like, do you do different things when it comes to, like, team building stuff, chemistry stuff, or is it still kind of the same staples there that are still working?
It's been different, like, this time around, right? I think before, you had a better mix of, you know, freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, right?
Yeah.
And you know, if guys graduated, I mean, you sort of replenished with, you know, junior college or you felt like maybe, man, you need to stay more, like, in the footprint of development depending on what level you're at. I think now what's happened for us, like, with the transfer portal, you're young and old.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
The in-between, man, there is no, you know, ice cream filling. It's just two cookies, right? Just two cookies, right? You got two cookies, and, you know, man, you got a double cookie sandwich with no ice cream. Okay,
yep.
So, you know, like, what you've had to do, man, is dig more really into your football team. It used to be you used to bring in outside sources, like military groups or stuff like that to talk about, you know, team building. Now what you have to do is do it from the inside out. We've got culture groups. We've got guys. You have to break up your position groups and put guys, okay, with guys, not in their position group, not with their coach. And we've broken down into these culture groups of, like, four student-athletes. We've got 30 staff members that have four student-athletes. That's 120, right? And the whole idea is to create connection and have guys tell their stories. Understand quickly in camp three things: what's your history, who's your hero, what's your biggest heartache. And that, when you start to look at those stories and guys are starting to tell their stories, they're starting to get to know teammates. We used to think that guys knew their teammates, but if you ask somebody, okay, about somebody outside their position group, they didn't know a thing. And I think now that's important because if you have young and old, you're going to lose young guys if they're not playing, right? Man, because they feel like, you know what, man, I'm being left behind. Nobody cares about me. But with these culture groups, man, you're able to capture, you know, the things that they're going through. And you've got players, you know, really older players investing in young players. And I think the benefit of that is that older players have been there. They've seen the homesickness. They've seen missing a girlfriend. They've seen the idea of playing time being limited. Until you can get there, they can sort of foster their siblings through the process. So that's like with the culture groups, we have champions, which are the mentors, and then we have siblings, and that's what we call them. You know, older brothers to younger brothers. And it's the old big brother deal, right? Except now, I mean, you got to do it at such a high level because the cost of getting it wrong is way too expensive. Losing players. You can't lose players now. You have to have a roster full of players that know and understand that they're valued and valuable.
Derek, last thing for you here for MTSU fans that are listening to you now. What's your message for MTSU fans as you guys are getting ready to kick off the season here?
You know, come watch us. Look, we've had to get out and really like touch this community. I'm talking about, you know, everything from Shelbyville, you know, into North Nashville. Why? Man, because MTSU has such a vast alumni base. Right? It's not just Rutherford County. It's bigger than that, way bigger than that. And so, you know, our big thing was, man, let's get out and serve this community. And I thought we did. Our guys put together close to, you know, 800 community service hours. I mean, like they did a good job just trying to reach this community. And I think the more you touch this community, people want to see people they know. They've gotten a chance to know us. And now what they get a chance to do is watch us play. And we represent them. They represent us. We're all one and the same. It's all Blue Raider Nation, so let's go.
Absolutely. Well, you've been so kind with your time. Yeah,
yeah,
thank
yeah.
you so much. You taking time to be with us, Derek.
Robbie, I want some practice.
Robbie Rexrode, man. Let's go get it. Let's get some, baby.
Yes, sir. All right. MTSU football coach Derek Mason, our guest.